mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 387. I'm Adam, and the quest is over. And here's Debbie Melrose.
The quest is the quest.
Mary Lang.
Whatever blows must also suck.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Best quote in the whole thing.
Did Kirby not do one?
Huh? You haven't called on me yet.
Right, point deducted for not listening.
No, I didn't hear you.
Doesn't matter, point deducted. Right then, so Kirby Bartlett Sloan for the third time.
The quest is the quest. Which, yeah, right. By the way, I did have an alternate picked out. Unfortunately, I only had one alternate, and Mary used it.
Quest is the quest is quite acceptable.
Yeah.
All right, so questions. The current scores are going into the quiz later on in the show. In last place with minus 2 points, Kirby, because he got 1 point deducted for doing quiz. Actually, I forgot to take one off Deb. Too predictable. A point off Deb, obviously, for Quest of the Quest nonsense, for listening and going along with Kirby, who has a point deducted for also using stereotypical, nonsensical quote when there was loads of really good quotes in this story. Another point deducted for not answering the "and Kirby Bartlett Sloan" part of the proceedings. So there we go. Starting really well, Mary.
I didn't hear you. You go back you and listen to the...
I didn't hear him either. I didn't.
Just careful, everyone. What's that funny noise? Is that your chimes again, Mary?
Yes, it is.
Do make sure it's a windy day. Like I said, when we do Kinder and Snake Dance, that would be quite interesting to have those chimes going.
I've never seen either of those. It should be interesting.
Yes, you have.
No, I haven't.
Yes, you have.
Kinder and Snake Dance? No, I have not.
I find that very difficult to believe. Anyway.
There's a whole bunch I've not
seen. This week's listeners, we're going to be reviewing Underworld. No, not the the clothes factory in Coronation Street. a Doctor Who story called Underworld. So here we go. Do we want to listen to Deborah's opinions of Sunmakers, everybody?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes, Lillian messaged me saying, I would hope to hear your views. My views on
Sunmakers. Oh, go on then.
Yeah, my views on Sunmakers, I enjoyed it. But you could see why there was a bit of controversy with it, obviously being quite political, and that a lot of the references throughout the story would really have got over the head of a lot of younger viewers. But you've got K-9 in it playing. His role was very interesting in that when they decided to put a camera on him, but you were seeing him as though someone was holding a camera looking at him. That was quite interesting. It wasn't one of those stories that grasps me, but I really got the whole idea that it was referencing, the P-45s and the Inland Revenue and the climate of the time. And it was really sort of fascinating study in how Britain as a whole was feeling at the time with all the stuff going on with Dennis Healey as the Home Secretary, I think. And it was all Chancellor of the Exchequer. And it was good. It was of its age rather than just being, a sci-fi that can be timeless. But
do you have better attitudes towards Inland Revenue now?
No.
You make it sound like, okay, back then we thought these awful things.
This was an age of reactionism more than anything. Now we're all just complacent with the fact that everything's rubbish.
I agree.
So that's basically what I came away from Sunmakers with, and I enjoyed it as an adult, and just with K-9 and everything, you could, kids love it. So it was one that I could share with Isla, and it wasn't too distressing for her, but it was also engaging. So I enjoyed it, but it wasn't one of those standout ones.
Thank you, Debbie. Right, on the third, we've got Lillian Robbins saying hello. We've got Terry Marr say hello, Adam and crew. And Lillian Robbins saying, oh, you didn't answer my message, Debbie. I wasn't sure if you got it. Thanks.
I didn't know how we were going to play the podcast. So I do apologise, Lillian, because I'm one of those people that gets
how
a message.
How we were going to play the podcast?
No, no, I didn't know if you were going to ask me about it or not, if we were just going to go straight on into Underworld.
Well, we're
going to
go straight on into...
I literally had the message set going, I thought we were going to talk about it, but we didn't. And you, as I was literally typing that, you asked me for my opinion. So I do apologize.
Here we go, we're into Underworld then. Past the title sequence, we get this lovely, very rare shot in this story of a galaxy and starscape, which soon disappears because the TARDIS is now flying through a part of space where there's no stars because the BBC couldn't afford them at the time. Cuts and everything.
They can afford a lot of ray gun effects in this one and some shoddy CSO.
Well, maybe the ray guns weren't particularly expensive to put together. Anyway, so the Lila has a new costume. And the doctor has been painting because he's wearing some sort of overcoat thing. And they arrive.
I think it's called a smock.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yes, it's a smock.
And then this sort of strange glowing, what looks a bit like a sun sort of spirally thing, hooves into view, and they get caught in its feel of gravitation, I suppose. And then we're in a spaceship, or a big spaceship, which has a really good set, to be fair, and that gets caught in its gravitational pull as well. Now, we meet a few of
the quest.
That's not what it's called, though, the spaceship, is it? That's just what they're on is called the quest. He's gone very quiet.
I don't remember what the spaceship's called.
Yeah,
I don't think they mentioned that.
Okay.
They're going to meet Persephone. I mean, P7E.
Yes, dear. Anyway, so on this...
It's called R1C, the ship.
Nice one, Debbie. Yeah, so...
R1C, okay.
Shut up. Anyway, so on the spaceship, which is they're implying is very, very old... I love the sofas on it. Very, so I must nick that from
the cushy, the comfy chair.
Set or something like that. I don't know. And we've got what's his name, Jackson, the commander, and we've got is it? Because he's awful. Yes. What?
We should have gotten Jason to join us today.
Funny. Yeah. And then we've got Talia. Is it the main sort of controller of the spaceship.
Tala,
yeah, it looks a bit old at the beginning. I'll say more about Talia and the very lovely... what was the actress's name now? Damn. I can't remember her name now. The actress who played Tala. Anyway,
Imogen Bickford-Smith.
That's it, Imogen Bickford-Smith. Now, Imogen Bickford-Smith was, if you remember... a fantastic Doctor Who story where he's suspicious that there's a girl in this bloke's room, and it's one where he climbs up the ladder and taps on the window, and then the ladder falls backwards, and Manuel runs into Mrs. Salty and said, Mr. Salty, he hurt, he fall off ladder, he go to see in girl's room and fall off ladder. Anyway, that sort of thing. The girl in the room was Imogen.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes, indeed. She didn't have much to say in that story, but it was indeed... this particular very attractive actress.
She was apparently did lots of stuff with some of the pythons. She was in The Meaning of Life. She was in a fish called Wanda.
Oh, was she? Didn't know that. But anyway, she's old at this particular stage of the story and not looking too good. So the other bits of members of the cast. Sorry, we had Drat Jackson. We got Worf. I'm trying to remember what... Alan, what's his name?
Heracles.
His actual name, thank you.
Eric,
yeah. And there was another one, wasn't there? The other bloke. Oh, we got Worf. Yeah, Eric, yeah. Anyway, okay, so the doctor... Pardon?
No. The other name for Herrick is Hector.
Is it?
If he wants to keep referring back to the mythology.
Oh, okay.
It's Hector.
So, anyway, the TARDIS arrives.
Well, the infotext made reference that he was supposed to be Hercules.
No. Anyway, the TARDIS arrives inside the spaceship, and K-9 manages to get out somehow. And they start poking around this a room that looks like it hasn't been used for many, many years because it's covered in cobwebs. How the spiders got up there, I do not know.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like, how on earth did cobwebs get on a spaceship like that?
Yeah. 100,000-year-old spiders.
It's a sad notion as well that, bear in mind, that's hundreds of years they've been doing this journey, and they're still wearing these awful spacesuits. You would have thought they perhaps would have something different over the years, but anyway. So, Leela finds a shield with a, well, it's a gun thing, and blasts a hole through the door, which is quite amusing, and gets told off.
I should have used that quote. Don't play with strange guns or something.
Yeah, there's loads of quotes in this story.
Mm-hmm. There are.
Thank you. Is another one. So
that bothered me. They never used the pacifier ray in any other episode except this one.
No, but I like it. So they're getting pulled into this gravitational pull thing, field or whatever this is. I don't know if a star or what it is actually. Is it a forming planet? What is it?
Well, they say it's a forming planet.
I thought that was later on. I can't remember.
No. It's on the edge of a nebula.
On the edge of a spiral nebula. Ah. So anyway, so they're trying to sort of find a way of getting away from it, but they can't. There's also some very interesting graphics on the floor of this room where the pacifier is being fired off at everybody.
Yes, which are identical, Master.
What?
They're identical to the graphics on the floor in the Oracle for some reason.
Oh, there you go. Well done.
For some mysterious reason, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe it's the same set.
Maybe it is. Well, they could have put a carpet down or something to cover it up, couldn't they? For continuity reasons. Anyway, so there was a bit of a heated situation going on where Leela gets shot first with the pacifier, and then is it Eric? Then gets shot by one. Now Eric is played by Alan. This is where I'm trying to cue you lot to come in with an answer. Thank you very much, Debbie. Right. Point for Debbie. Well done. Who is Diana Dawe's husband, and I think he committed suicide not long after this, actually, to be fair.
Yes, about 3 weeks later.
Mm. Very sad, very sad. Yes, he's obviously a troubled man. But you get that feeling from the character he plays that he's not quite stable. I don't know. Obviously, he's an actor, he's playing a part, but always watch this and think of him as him personally not being particularly stable, which may have added to his performance in this particular story. I don't know. Moving on. Yeah, so sorry, my machine's just got to catch up with itself. It's really funny.
The cast with some energy.
Yeah, but it's also interesting.
I liked him in this a lot.
He's very good, yeah. But it's also interesting watching some of the bonus features on the DVD where they show all the behind-the-scenes stuff. There's a scene in which Tom Baker is having a casual conversation with Louis Jameson and another actor, saying that he was on great form, this Alan the previous night, was, obviously a conversation at the bar, said that he was really, really funny, which was sort of brought a bit of humanity to him as a person. So it's really funny when Leela gets pacified, because she goes up to Orf and goes, Orf, it's a beautiful name.
Yes, beautiful.
How long does this last? Well, she's a primitive. It might be for hours, which is quite funny. But I think the doctor snaps her out of it quite quick. Meanwhile,
she sulks. I remember the first time watching this, I couldn't understand Leela as a character because I'd not seen the build-up of her character.
Yeah.
So I remember thinking, she's a bit sulky. Yeah, but this time it was like, oh dear, you pissed Leela off. Oh, you know.
She was very pissed on my show there,
she's
Debbie.
Sorry, I just did.
So did I. Isn't that funny? Anyway, so Talia, is it Tala?
Tala.
Not very well. She collapses and gets sent into the regeneration suite, which is a huge room. Where she's placed in the middle of, hanging in midair with the way her legs are.
Yeah, but they all act like they're thrown by this. They go, oh, but it happened to all the others, and you think, oh, so something terrible is going to happen to her.
Mm.
But if it was just one more regeneration, it's like, why were they acting like it was a big deal?
Mm. Master?
Yes. Yeah, they've been doing this for years and years and years, haven't they? Yes. Yeah.
It's like, okay, take her in there, lay her down. She'll be okay.
Better let him speak, everybody.
Oh, Master?
Yes?
I was watching this with Fred, and I turned to her and said, hey, that's great. They can regenerate her makeup.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting watching that camera fade, you know, where she changes into the unbeautiful Imogen.
Yeah.
And her face gets thinner because they've taken all these sort of layers of makeup off and stuff. Yeah. And she's got another lovely fresh set of lipstick as well, appears on her lips, which I thought was quite nice as well.
That long, beautiful hair.
Yeah. That was her hair, I think. Anyway, so the doctor sort of tags along with Jason a little bit. K9 gets plugged into the system. And
after you just said Jason.
All right, Jackson.
Jackson.
You're so pleased about that, aren't you, Kirby?
Affirmative.
Yes. And then I say the doctor snaps Leela out of the pacifism. And yeah, then they just head into this thing. Up go the shields.
Well, I love that they sorry, Master. Mm. I love that they attach K9 to the ship so they can navigate, and they use bulldog clips on his ears.
Yes. But I thought actually, knowing that the scene where the sort of shutters go up, you know, as they head into it, I thought that actually worked really well. It gave a sort of feeling of size to the thing, and I think that actual, even though it was CSO, it actually worked really, really well. I was quite impressed with
Master.
That. Oh, what now?
Well, yeah, what they're seeing outside the windows is CSO at the end. Those shutters were full size.
Okay, I'm just saying it looked really good.
It did.
Thank you. Right. So yeah,
I agree.
Shut up. And then of course, after a short period of time, they take the shutters back down again, and there's all this looks like glowing lava against the big windows, and we see an outside shot of boulders starting to land on the ship, and the doctor sort of says, "Oh yes, we're at the centre of a virgining planet, essentially."
Master, see it so on this was really good.
Yes, Fred.
No, I'm not Fred. No. Yeah, but yeah, we see a backwards replay of a shot of a whole bunch of styrofoam pieces
right.
falling.
Point
off
deductive
of
for calling it styrofoam. Where is it going? There we are. Right,
potato.
So.
Potato.
What is it?
It's polystyrene. It's in this country. It's not styrofoam. It's completely different stuff, isn't it, Debbie?
Yes, but in this country, it's styrofoam. And surely we're allowed to we can allow for linguistics.
No, not in the British program, no.
Okay.
It's British. British product, you see.
Aren't
if it come,
you
if it been imported from America.
A lot of your viewers?
If it be.
No, he's just trying to torture me.
And half your presenters? My goodness.
Yeah.
I love Mary.
He's just trying to torture me.
I love Mary. I'm going to give Mary a point for that. It was really good. Oh, that was good. I like that. It's wrong, but I like it. Right then. Yeah, so they're starting to get buried alive with these rocks, but they come up with the idea of blasting a tunnel through it so they can sort of escape that way. And then they head for a planet, and they think they're going to have a big crash, but instead it's a big splash.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
I need to get to the next episode. Okay.
I am in the next episode.
Yeah, well, I'm doing them individually.
I am doing... Oh, shut up. So they land in the planet, and they just happen to land in a place where they can, you know, climb out through corridors and stuff, which is quite handy. And then we see the first of the CSO...
tunnels.
Sort of tunnels, that's a word for it, yes. Caves and tunnels, and some people dressed in raggedy clothes, which is they obviously had a budget for all these little Hessian bags that they dress these characters in. And there's this old chap which they're persecuting, which is the father of the main sort of character that we see for the rest of the story, whose name is... Oh, okay, fine. Well done for that one.
Is this going to be one of the questions?
No, I just can't remember names. I'm not good on names. And this is why I shouldn't perhaps go to this quiz. We'll go to everybody on the Isle of Wight wants to go to a Doctor Who quiz. Go to Cineworld on Thursday night today at 7:30 p.m. where there's a Doctor Who quiz. Just saying.
Do we need to wear our special T-shirt so we can promote the podcast?
Oh, he did suggest that, but I don't think I'm going
to
be that.
I can wear mine. I'll bring it to work.
Okay. That's if I go.
I want to hear the results of this.
Debbie minus 20.
Did anyone notice that the corridors of the ship are lined with Eddie, your shipboard computer?
No.
Hi, I'm Eddie.
Yes.
No. What's the significance of that?
Yeah. From the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, it looks exactly like the prop from the BBC version of Hitchhikers.
Who watched Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy for 28 years?
Huh?
I haven't watched Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy BBC version for 28 years.
Yeah.
So I'd never remember that. Right then. So there are.
I think I put a picture of it up every few weeks.
I don't
weeks
care.
During my Thursday post.
Anyway, so they're feeling got the crew feeling got optimistic because they've arrived where they need to arrive, and they go on an away mission, while Leela and the Doctor sort of have a look around the cave. Now, what
Idus, the guy you were talking about is Idus.
Thank you, darling. Don't get any points for that. It was very kind of you to say so.
Wikipedia is so nice.
Right. Now, the first scene we see the Doctor and Leela hiding behind a rock, which moves while they're hiding behind it, which is a bit of a
joke. Yes.
But I have to say, right, these CSO scapes, as I'm going to call them, scenery, and the skill involved in creating that effect, you know, it's mind-blowing. It's really, really cool. Yeah, I know there's fuzzy edges and stuff like that, but obviously you might only get this from watching the behind the scenes stuff, I don't know, but it was timings and perfect choreography to get all these these things to work with one camera.
Completely agree with you.
And I absolutely love these. I find the CSOs, because CSO is normally rubbish, but in this story isn't, I find it absolutely fascinating. It creates an outer-worldly feeling of this story. I know you can see some of its tacky bloody scenery, and there's an appalling,
and people's feet disappear and all that, but
there's a couple of places where the guards look like they're floating in midair, and K-9 looks like he's floating in midair.
I haven't got a problem with that. For me, it's just like television theater. But the one thing that did annoy me a little bit,
there's a great DVD extra where they just show the feed from the two cameras and how they worked it out to match everything up.
Yes. Oh, yes. No, this is when they're coming out of corridors and go around the corner, they put a card on the mask, and then they have to time it right. So as they come around the corner, they take the card away. Otherwise, they'd be behind the card again. Card again. But, yeah, it's really cool.
Must have been cold.
But what annoys... Oh, God, sorry, a bit of a gas. Sorry about that.
Hey.
Sorry, I do apologize. I had to bring that up.
If one of us were to do that, you'd deduct points.
Yeah, no, I know. I would do, but I couldn't help it on that occasion. It hardly ever... pointed out to Kirby for being mean to me. I did say sorry. I did pre-warn you, and I did say sorry that was going to happen. So if that's not good enough, it's going to be a...
Oh, God.
So anyway, the bit that annoyed me on that particular first few scenes in these CSO caves was the Doctor and Leela. Oh, I'm going to hide in this what looks like a sort of rock trolley thing. And right, and you can see the wide shot of them hiding there, where they're keeping almost perfectly still, and then did a close up shot of them just wiggling around the sheets.
And the guards are looking around like, there's nobody here.
So would you really wiggle the sheets around while hiding? I don't think you would.
Guards.
We've established a few seconds earlier that they've climbed underneath this sheet, and the sheet, that is the sheet. Even with a close-up, that's a sheet. We do not need wiggling hands to show that they're still underneath there, do we? No. Right.
Master?
Now, yes?
The main guard in black who's walking around with them happens to be one of the droogs from A Clockwork Orange.
Oh.
I didn't notice that.
I didn't care.
Yeah, he's James Marcus, plays Rask. He's kind of the skinny of the droogs.
Anyway, on the Facebook feed, Lauren X says, Wi-Fi is rubbish today, but I'm sort of here. Hello, sort of there, Lauren X. Right then, there's a lovely scene. What's that character again that you said just a moment ago? The sun bloke who's very thin.
Idus?
Is it Idus? No.
Rask.
Rask is it? Anyway, he gets attacked by Leela, which is quite an amusing thing. She sort of goes in for the kill, and the Doctor stops her. And then, of course, the crew of the spaceship go in search of the... What is it, the quest they're looking for? Oh, no, it's
quest.
It's actually the... oh, what's they call it? It's to do with biology and stuff, isn't it? What's it called again? Those three little...
Race banks.
That's the one, race banks. So going in search of those. No. And then they get sort of separated slightly. And the big sort of runners of this area start filling the caves up with gas. I think Leela gets overcome a little bit. And then that little bloke, I'm never going to remember his name, he collapses. And there's a funny scene in which Leela drags him and lays him out very gently on the floor. So he must have been bloody light. and meanwhile, the doctor goes in to try and sort of stop the gas from filling up the caves by twiddling.
I like her attitude. I like, because you can see she wants to go and join the doctor.
Yeah, the doctor says stay.
She's going to leave him, and then, you know, because he starts getting up and looking around, she goes back and squats down and with her, you know, she looks very frustrated.
Yeah, and I think the other thing I liked about this special effect, obviously they've gone the cheap route. That it looks like they've put a white sheet in front of one camera and wafted it around to make it look like there's a layer of gas. And I think that worked quite well, actually.
What's really funny, Master, is that episode 3 has about 3 minutes of the end of episode 2.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It does indeed. But they do that quite a lot in Doctor Who.
We're not.
They say that they do that quite a lot in Doctor Who when they're running, they need to make up time. Anyway, so the Doctor twiddles a knob, and we see some backward footage of the gas coming out, which I quite enjoyed as well. So what happens next? So I'm just quicking forward a little bit. Then we see a shot of the dad, who actually could pass easy as the granddad, to be fair, sort of tied down. What a frail man, but they've really...
Working on the rocks really ages you.
Apparently so.
I think so, yeah.
Apparently so. But they've tied him down pretty well and good, so he obviously maybe he's stronger than he looks, the efforts they've gone to tie him to this bench. And obviously,
those two main guards, you hardly ever see their actual faces. They're always got the hoods.
Aren't they the robot things that are supposed to be like the Cyclopses?
No, I'm talking about the people like Rask, who is one of the minions.
Minions. Doesn't that Kevin and... that's the film. Gru.
I like the grommets on their hoods.
Yeah.
What are some grommets?
Wallace.
Anyway, so this chap who plays the dad, obviously they want to cut down on money so much they don't give him any lines, so they tie a thing across his face. and they've managed to get a map of the labyrinth, and the surface of the labyrinth is obviously all right for canine. That does surprise me, considering he couldn't get across Brighton Beach very well.
True.
And then that's a future episode, everybody. And then the Doctor and is it Rask and Leela go down this tunnel where there's no gravity.
Now, Rask is one of the baddies.
Oh, will you answer my question? When I said that chap with Leela, that was a question as to who's the chap.
Said the right name.
Who's it's the Ida. Chap with Leela? It's not a difficult question.
It's Ida again, isn't it?
Ida.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was
Idas.
So how did Idas is it? Well, how did that change to Rask then?
You got yourself confused, Adam. I'm sorry.
I didn't get myself confused at all. I'm not interested in
Watch
Rask.
Watch out! Don't antagonize Master. He'll.
All right.
Anyway, they float down this gravity tunnel thing. And Tom,
which was so silly looking.
It was funny. But Tom Baker thinks a way of making it look like weightlessness is to waft his scarf around a little bit. unenthusiastically, I should say. And then we got, some persecution of the unpaid extras. Now, considering they didn't have a lot of money... There was an awful lot of extras in this story.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where they're sort of burning through a cable that has a way, I presume it's going to land on someone and kill them. Well, that's what the plan
is. Sword,
yeah. So why don't they just shoot them?
It's a sword of Damocles.
Why do they have to go through that? Why don't they just shoot them? What's the point in this sword? Oh, just set fire to this thing and let the sword drop and dirt. Yes?
It's more of the... of the mythology stuff.
Oh, okay. So it's nothing to do with like a bit of a homage to one of the James Bond films where James Bond is tied to a board and that this laser's coming up to his crotch very slowly.
It's a reference to that as well, but
yeah. Thank you.
It's still... oh.
What?
It's not from mythology.
Oh, it's not from mythology. Okay.
It's from The Lost History of Sicily by Timaeus of Taromenium.
I do wish I hadn't asked now.
From around 356 to 260 BC.
Shut up. Ian Kirk says, Idas channels Binro the Heretic.
Binro the Heretic? Who's that?
I don't know. Debbie knows. Debbie knows everything.
Binro the Heretic.
Anyway, right. Oh, well, now you've made me lose where I was. The sword, does it eventually burn through? I can't remember now. This is where I was trying to watch the episode.
Yes,
and
yes, but Idas pushes his father out of the way.
Yeah, but this is the one where I was trying to watch the episode and Deb kept on talking to me, and that's the Alpha Deb, not Beta Deb. Right, and there's always this scene where where's that Alan Dale's character? Not Alan Dale, sorry. Oh, Alan.
Alan Lake.
Lake, yeah, his character.
There are lakes in Dales.
Yeah, shut up. Going around the corridors, blasting people, was having a great time. And eventually he gets shot down and dragged in and subsequently tortured. And he did do some very good being tortured acting, to be fair, after that. And I'll just move forward a little bit. Oh, yeah, and Kirby.
Yes,
Hang on, Kirby. Hang on. There's a scene in which he's actually being tortured, and he's wearing the same headpiece as, we've seen in several stories of Doctor Who, starting with the boss in The Green Death.
Correct.
And, it does get worn a few times, but they've slightly modified it. He's got a strap that goes around the front of his head.
I have put on the Facebook page several times. Like every time that thing comes up, I'll post a picture of that.
Yes, I know. Anyway, we haven't didn't see
the. In fact, I used it. Oh. I used it this week to ask for feedback.
Thank you. We didn't see the little square things I keep referring to in this story. I did look out for them. Right. So moving on. Oh yes, they say he did some. And there's a scene in which obviously when he's being tortured, the two characters take their hoods off, and revealing these weird sort of robot-y heads. Well, actually a very cool design for the time, very original design. Mm. Then we see some characters pushing some polystyrene rocks up a hill. Must have been such hard work. With the Doctor and Leela. Hidden in one of them, and of course they flip over, and we think the Doctor and Leela has been tipped down into this. Yes, Kirby.
Crusher.
Well,
where's the Crusher? Now that's a different thing altogether, dear. That's Star Trek Next Generation. Sorry. Yes, Kirby.
The weird masks are. I put a picture out on the Facebook page. Hugo Gernsback, who was considered the father of modern science fiction back in the 20s, created something called the Isolator so that he could work without being disturbed. And it looks very much like those masks.
That went right over my head.
Well, and secondly, the whole business of them being pushed in those little things that... Mm-hmm. Ulysses and getting past the Cyclops.
Yes, dear. Right, thank you very much. Right, yeah, so episode 4. Have I got to episode 4 yet? No, I haven't. Oh, yeah, here it is, episode 4. It turns out that it's, I don't think it's the Doctor and Leela getting flipped down there. They jump out in the nick of time. A little fight ensues.
Oh, there's a lot of padding in the episode 4, too. Yeah. Wow.
Yes.
We back up almost to the middle of episode 3.
Yes.
But like I say, Eric survives all his torture, and they keep on asking him questions, and he gives the correct answer, and the bloke says he tells the truth, but they don't take any notice. This was quite amusing.
I'll get master.
Yes.
I'll often give the correct answer, and I don't get that sort of treatment. He tells the truth. No, I'll get you saying no.
No. Right, so the various little battles ensue, Eric comes out holding the little the golden things with the race doodah thingamajigs in them.
Yes, the golden fleece.
Yeah, I know it's a shut up. I know it's supposed to be the golden fleece anyway. It doesn't look much like a fleece, though, does it? Anyway, they all go off happy and think that the quest is over. Let's get the hell out of here. Yes,
it looks like something that's. I seem to recall from one of the Planet of the Apes films.
Really?
Yeah, one of the more rubbish ones.
I think Planet of Apes, the TV series, was on with Roddy McDowall while this particular story was on. I just remember watching Planet of the Apes, the TV series, in the 1970s. Is that what you're referring to, or just the movies?
I don't remember. Precisely.
I don't know what came first, whether the movies came first and then the TV series.
The
or whether...
chicken or the egg.
Be funny. Laurie Nix says, finally, I can hear Adam. That's a good thing, isn't it, Laurie? Right, so, the Doctor and Leela, meanwhile, head into the inner sanctum and have a conversation with... Well, what's the name of that? The voice. What would they call that thing?
The Oracle.
Oracle. What a great... That's like me, isn't it? I'm the Oracle, aren't I, Kirby?
You are.
He's trying to get points, isn't he? He's not going to get any. And, yeah, so the Doctor and Idas, whatever his name is.
Idas, yeah.
They sort of pull this sword.
I think you'd call him Idas.
This sword thingy. So reference to Sword in the Stone, probably not. And up come the real golden fleecy things that Kirby referred to earlier.
Yes.
And, of course, the Doctor realises that what... the others have is in fact a highly explosive thingy, and so they have to make their way back to the spaceship as quickly as possible and swap over the offending articles, and of course the offending articles get back in the hands of the baddies, and the Oracle knows that they're not real, and the spaceship takes off hastily, has to say, because they do really have to get out there pretty quick. But unfortunately, the gravitational pull keeps the ship from getting away properly. But the Doctor knows what's going to happen. There's going to be a big bang, a big shock wave, which helps them surf the way away from the planet.
They're dastardly fission grenades. That's
And yeah, that's essentially the end of the story. Right then, it's right. I suppose I better think what. I don't know what I said last time we looked at this story, but I know it's quite a little fault. Some of the faults for me are not the CSO issues. They're only little things that I've sort of taken the mickey out of on this particular episode. But I think this is fantastic, this story. I think it's a great tale. I know it's based on a mythology, but I think they've transferred it to sci-fi really, really well. It's very engaging. I didn't find the four episodes at all. Oh god, I can't wait for the next one. Yeah, there was a bit of a, like Kirby said, there's a bit of an overlap in some areas, to sort of replaying a bit to try and fill the time. So perhaps they could have made it a three-parter, not because I didn't think it was worth a four-parter. I thoroughly enjoy this story. I think this Graham Williams era is actually turning out to be better than the old Hinchcliffe era so far. Really, really enjoying it. And obviously, knowing this is a friend of the show, Louise Jameson's penultimate story, it's it'd be quite sad to see it go. But, yeah, loved it. What did you think of it then, Kirby?
This has always been one of my favorites, cheesy effects and all. I remember seeing this one in 1981, and I looked back on the Facebook group and noticed I even published took a picture of my calendar from 1981. So, you know, calendars from the early 80s have been in the news lately.
Oh, so, yes. You too, huh?
Oh, no wild parties, though. just going, just basically I wrote down every movie or TV show I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Running to be a judge.
Anyway. Anyway, I remember watching this one in the at university in the TV lounge and really enjoying it. And I sort of noticed the mythological connections, but at the very end when the doctor actually points it out, I went, oh, that's fantastic. I know some people don't like this one, Mary.
So we don't have to play the drama sound now because we know automatically she doesn't like it. Oh well.
but it's not a great episode, but it's fun.
Yes, it is. Well, I think it is. Debbie, what did you think?
It took me about halfway through the first episode before I remembered that we'd actually watched this one. I'm sorry to say.
There's a database telling us.
It didn't make that much of an impression the first time round. But I watched it again, obviously, as I said earlier, with greater insight into Leela as a character. And I thought she was brilliant in this. But it didn't do it for me as a whole. I mean, I think after... It was another one of the ones where we're running away, running down tunnels. I did love the mythology references, but I wasn't as into it as I'd hoped I probably would be. And I did try and watch it twice, but I only got halfway through it the second time. And it wasn't as enjoyable as I'd hoped. And when I finally remembered it, I was like, oh, I think I remember why I didn't remember it. But I was so exuberant 4 years ago, I probably was going, I loved it, I loved it, I loved it. This is brilliant. This is fantastic. I love Doctor Who. You know, there was such an innocent young thing.
And, and honest, too.
Yeah, but it wasn't one of the stronger episodes. I'm sorry. I felt it was too long. It could have even have just been a short one of two episodes.
Not quite right, but never mind.
Sorry.
We're not quite right. Here we go. I don't want to bother playing this. We know she's not going to like it, so let's get on with it. Go on in, Mary. I'm going to sit back and put my fingers in my ears.
Well, it came as a complete surprise to me that I had seen it before, because watching it, I'm in Debbie's camp. I was watching it and thinking, what? I don't remember this.
I think it's familiar.
I don't remember any of this, you know, so it must not have been a memorable story then. And I have to say it's not terribly memorable now. Just a lot of time wasting in this. I think it could be reduced down to three episodes. I mean, anytime you start an episode off halfway through the previous episode, you know they're begging for time. And the story, it might be based on mythology and all that, but oh my God, it has so many holes in it. Some things stood out for me. One is Leela saying he has saved many fathers. I'm thinking, well, honey, he didn't save your father. Has there been evidence anywhere up till now that he saved anybody's father? So I don't know where she got that, unless she's been on other adventures where she did witness that.
Finish.
And something that...
Yeah, you're the Big Finish expert.
Well, none of this has ever been in Big Finish. That's how memorable.
Well, no, what I mean is, hasn't she been on adventures with the Fourth Doctor in Big Finish?
Oh, well, she may have, but I'm looking only at the TV episodes.
Okay.
Which at the time, you know, I would have questioned then, too. It's like, no, I didn't see her save any fathers, particularly your own, honey. And something struck me is that they're packing all these people onto a ship that's going to travel for 370 more years. And there isn't anything on that ship, really, to help them all survive that long. I mean, they were complaining as doctor was packing them in there. It's like, we can't take them. There's too much weight. Well, you can't take them because you probably don't have enough supplies to keep everybody alive. So why didn't they just put them all in the TARDIS and they could be on a Minyus 2 in about 3 minutes?
Yes, I did think that. They were moaning about it. And I just thought, the TARDIS is right there.
You're all going to die on the way to Minyus 2.
Isn't there a story coming up where the doctor does take a whole bunch of people into the TARDIS?
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
What is that one?
I don't know.
I can't remember. I know there is one. He takes loads of people.
Yeah, loads of people.
Yeah, I remember him filling the TARDIS, but I don't remember what the story is. And my last thing is, you know, once again, I'm going to dump on K-9, which is turning into the Doctor's magic prop. It's kind of like how we complain now about how the Doctor uses his sonic screwdriver. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, K-9 can print out maps. He can run the ship. He recharges laser weapons. He calculates air quality, and he can decide something's a fission grenade and all. I mean, every time that there's a question, everybody turns to K-9. So I think he's becoming a little powerful. Anyways, yeah, for a cute little puppy, he's quite powerful for the Doctor. So that's it for.
Sorry, I've come back from my hands got tired. I couldn't keep my fingers in my ears for any longer, I'm afraid. I did try. Wrong again, but mind. Right then, so let's see what other people have been saying. I had to change my phone. Hang on. Lillian Robin says, I had to change my phone to watch. Oh, I thought she meant she'd change her phone into a watch, like an Apple Watch. But no, she meant to change to a... wasn't working on my tablet. Alan T. Butcher, I did see Underworld, though maybe you will have a chance to find out what is really it's really about next week. Suffice to say, it's all Greek to me. Replying to Laurie, Alan T. Butcher said, that fleece was hung in a tree at the end of the world for a while, and it was heavy. It was bound to be stretched.
Oh!
And then Lily Robin said, Adam needs to oil his chair. No, I don't. It's just broke. It's on its way
it's
out.
It's part of the podcast now.
No, it isn't. It's just on. We'll at one point. Some point
it's
have a new
your
chair.
Your chiming clock used to be on.
Yeah, whatever happened to the clock?
Hello, clock.
Clock's in the other room. I don't even think it chimes anymore, actually. I think the battery for the chime died. It doesn't actually chime.
I noticed the other week when we were talking before you called everybody else.
If it chimes, I haven't noticed. I'm pretty sure it doesn't chime anymore. We took the batteries out. It died. The batteries died and never got replaced on the chime part. So, yes, the clock does not chime.
The clock was part of the podcast.
Don't
for
give
years.
A tinker's cuss. It used to chime at stupid times. It'd be just you could hear it in the morning going when you wanted to have a nice lie in. Right, then let's see what... apparently Kirby posted something on Facebook, so we're going to have a look at the...
What do you mean, apparently?
I've got it up.
I bet you have. We're trying to look for the blooming feed for the that Kirby posted.
I've got it, if you want me to read it.
Oh, you've got... Oh, sorry. Well, I'm going to get it up myself. Oh, my God, what was that? just to make sure...
That's what she said.
Yeah, go on then, Deb.
Okay, well... After Kirby posted the picture of the recurring prop of the headphones, which is brilliant. Chris Miller, if it's Bluetooth enabled, I would wear it too. Yeah. Jeff Waddle, Underworld is without doubt the worst Tom Baker serial, and it commits the cardinal sin of being absolutely dull and absolutely forgettable.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, Chris Miller, I kind of liked it. Lillian Robin, I like it too. Laurie Nix, just okay. Perfectly acceptable sci-fi story, but we've seen it. Family Trek episodes are similar. I'm sure it regurgitates countless prior Who stories, which Kirby will list. If you've seen a similar path, then it's probably more impressive. It did teach us a handy use for binder clips, so that's something. If you think of it as a palate cleanser for the next amazing story, then it served its purpose. Side note, we could all use one of those pacifying rays right now. Billy Kirkwright... I've not had the time to see this recently, but as I recall from years ago, my thoughts on this story is like reading through the Old Testament Book of Lamentations. All due respect to the scripture, etc., but honestly, surely the production team could have done better than this. To put it mildly, back in the day, I disliked this story immensely, hardly captivating and lacked the spectacle element. In short, four episodes too long.
Yeah. Mistress, you should have said that hardly captivating and lacked the...
What the hell was that? So we've got an Indian person on the show or something. Good grief.
To put it mildly, back in the day, I just like the
singer. You got it.
Jesus. Apologies to all people
like
from from mid-England. Right.
And then Kirby put up a brilliant picture of the isolator by Hugo Gernsback. Yeah. And then Kirby wrote James Marcus Drugan Rask. There you go, P7E thug. And Ian Kirk's posted his script, but I'll save that for later. That's it.
That would be a good idea to save that for later. Yes, indeed. Oh, what I did forget to check was my inbox from the emails. Ooh, what we got here? Ooh, fascinating. So if we do this.
Hello, Something Big Mac Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hey.
Hi.
It might be a bit dull discussing what sweets Tom Baker used on set instead of jelly babies, but it takes all sorts to make a world.
Very good.
Underworld by Baker and Martin. A story based on Jason, the mythical captain of the Argo, who searched for the Golden Fleece. They were even more short of money than usual when they made this story. They built a ship set and used it for both ships. Then they used blue screen for the caves. I thought that worked well, except for K9 was obviously on a flat floor. This is not a popular story, being very near the bottom of opinion surveys. The cast did well. The lack of money led to disappointment. It was not bad. When we started at Hartnell, I intended to keep count of how many stories featured mistreated miners, but I lost count. This is another one. Mm-hmm. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. Curious. Ian's
so we need to find underage people to mistreat minors?
Oh,
and I love the way sometimes, Kirby, you think you're funny. It sort of has a an element of comedy to itself.
You know, the dead silence that follows your comments, you know, should clue you in.
Right.
Tumbleweeds.
Let's go back in time. This is a show about a time traveling woman.
Sorry.
Beg your pardon?
I said sorry, I sneezed.
Not good enough. So let's go back in time. Shut up.
Sorry.
Hello, 20 Megawatt Podcast, this is Ian Kirk. Underworld by Baker and Martin. Greek myths and blue screen and the low budget. We start off on a spaceship which is so near the edge of the universe that they don't need stars on the special effects shots. We were soon underground with mistreated miners, a favourite theme of Doctor Who. There is an old man who is in trouble for preaching that the stars exist. I wonder if he is related to Binro the Heretic from the Rebos operation.
Oh, there
apparently
is.
Half the episode was blue screen, but I was distracted by all the shots of Leela. That bridge where Herrick gets captured looks a lot like a one in a William Hartnell story, The Keys of Marinus. The bit of the plot was creaky, where the Face of Evil style computer had prepared a duplicate set of cylinders. And then it took just long enough to realise the wrong ones had been returned. Why do they have covers to put on the trucks full of rocks? Is it just so the Doctor and Leela can hide in them? Twice. Russell Davies reused the idea of a planet forming around an alien with the Arachnos. If all the mistreated miners in Doctor Who were led end to end, they would go on strike or something. That's it, I'm off. Bye for now.
But Kirby probably didn't get the I'm off pun there, but never mind. That was from 2014, Ian Kirk. Yes?
I just posted a picture. Ian, with that, just reminded me, old man, Star Trek, For the World is Hollow and I've Touched the Sky.
Jeff Wardle says in 2014, I like underwear. The frillier, the better on a woman, obviously, unless it's the weekend. However, I do not like Underworld. Where was it? Worst the Doctor Who stories, listed by Jeff Wardle in December 2014. Hartnell 3, Savages 2, Edge of Destruction 1 and The Web Planet. I think that's, I read that wrong. Troughton, 3, Wheel in Space, 2, Space Pirates, and 3, Dominators. I don't know how that works. Pertwee, 3, Monsters of Peladon, 2, Time Monster, 1, Death to the Daleks, Baker, that's the other Baker. Oh, no, it's not. It's Tom Baker. 3, Underworld. 2, Visible Enemy. 1, Lord Nymon. We haven't got there yet. And then I won't talk about the rest because we haven't got there yet. What did you say?
I said Nymon.
Did you? So, yeah, that's essentially feedback. I just want to make sure that nothing else has arrived while I've been talking. And
I have to. I've got to mute my microphone for a second. Hang on.
What, are you just about to break wind? Or? So that therefore leads us to the inevitable the beginning of this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
There's no Alan T.
Alan Butcher?
I have nothing from Alan Butcher. Oh. Oh, sorry, I got sidetracked with the theme music.
Master?
Oh, God, yes.
Did we solve the hook, huh?
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
All the. Who said, how are you? Is that directed to me?
No, not you. That was me. I said, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Stop confusing the situation.
Hey, tell them how you like the story, and Underworld, the one we just watched.
The one, which one?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, sure. Debbie.
Here, I'll just bring up a bit of it.
Point deducted for Debbie. Right, yeah, sorry, carry on.
Yeah, let's not start that again.
Oh, yeah, it was funny.
Thank. What do you mean it was funny?
Was the quest good? Is quest. The quest doctor says it. The doctor says it. The quest is the quest.
But was it good funny?
Yeah.
Excellent. Point for Kirby. Because obviously,
hey, that's not me. That's Fred.
No, but I'm passing Fred's points on to you because
she's
right.
Thank you.
Because it's a family show.
Yeah. No, because she's right. So, what do you think of Mary's opinions of it, then, Fred?
She didn't hear. She just came down here for a second.
Ah.
Mary didn't like it.
No, Mary didn't like it.
Not her Mary. Mary on the podcast.
Doesn't she not like any?
I didn't like it either.
Yeah, yeah. Don't isolate me.
that's.
Oh, okay.
She didn't hear the rest of you guys, so.
Yeah. Lucky her, right? Yeah.
I'm going to go now.
Yeah, she's going to go back
upstairs. Don't blame her.
Bye.
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 By the way, Terry Mars says, it's all right. Lillian Robin says, I like underwear. Lillian, we know. We know. And I'm delighted that you like underwear. We were going to do the quiz. So that's precisely where we're going to go now. Right there. So, okay.
Are we doing questions on the actual episode?
Yes, we are. Shut your face. Right then. So, Mary, who do you think is going to be ahead at the end of the questions?
Kirby.
Yeah.
Debbie, who do you think is going to be at the end of the... Sorry, I said the end of the start of the questions. Kirby. And Kirby, who do you think is going to be ahead at the start of the questions?
Me.
Ooh, yeah. That's very interesting.
No, at the start of the questions? No, this is incorrect.
I said the end of the questions, you silly man. It's not going to be at the start of them, is it? Because you're behind already.
I know, that's what I was about to say, but me.
Okay. Mary, who do you think is going to be at the back of the queue?
Me.
So that last week you won by the largest winning margin we've ever had in the 20 megabyte podcast. Right.
Well, that was
Kirby made it impossible for me to complain that I wasn't getting any of the easy questions.
Yes, but you answered virtually every question right. Debbie.
Yeah.
Who do you think's going to be last?
Me, probably, on this one.
And Kirby, who do you think's going to be last?
Mary.
Okay, right. So, I spelled Mary wrong. Right then, so, the current scores are, in last place with -3 points, it's Kirby. In second place with -2 points, it's Debbie. And in the lead with 2 points, it's Mary. First question goes to Mary. Mary,
yes.
What is the doctor apparently doing at the beginning of the story?
I know.
Use your joker.
Yes, I will use my joker. He's painting, or looks like he was painting.
Correct. dear, I think my dinner's repeating on Miss Terrell. Debbie.
Yes.
What is the first thing the TARDIS encounters after Leela stops the time rotor from going up?
I know.
Down.
Encounters.
Yeah. What is the first thing the TARDIS encounters after Leela stops the time rotor from going up and down?
A big red thing?
A big red thing. No, that's not the right answer, but Kirby knows the right answer.
It is a spiral nebula.
It looks weird.
Grief.
The depths
this podcast is plunging to out of this world. Right then, Kirby.
Master.
God. Oh, did you want to play a Joker?
Yes, I'll play my Joker.
All right, okay.
It's Kevin and Company.
What do you mean it's Kevin and Company? What are you on about?
Minions.
Correct. I said I did give you that. Right then. Bonus one, by the way, for the benefit of the listeners, the question was going to be what civilization was apparently destroyed over 100,000 years ago? Kirby answered the question before. I didn't even have to ask it, so yes, he gets his points. One point in the bonus spot for this question. What did the Doctor tell Leela never to...
Oh, I know.
I try and reel it in. Reel the innuendo in, even though I'm talking to Mary. I'll try again. Mary said she knows. What did the Doctor tell Leela never to play with?
Strange weapons.
So yeah, I managed to keep it. I managed to keep myself sensible there. Right, so the points are at the moment then after one round of questioning. In last place with -2 points, it's Debbie. In second place with 2 points, it's Kirby. In the lead with 7 points, it's Mary. It's Mary's question. Here's Mary's question. So they said it twice so nobody can make any mistakes as to whose question it is. After being pacified, what does Leela think is a beautiful name?
I know.
Oh God, what's his name? I know the Greek, it's Orpheus, but it's Or or Orf?
Yeah, give her it.
We said Orf, yes, I think that would be enough anyway. Yes, okay. That's correct. Debbie?
Yes.
What had each ship member done over 1,000 times?
Well, I'm pretty sure it's regenerated.
Could have played a joker on that one, but you didn't.
I should have done.
Kirby? Who is the Doctor's second best friend?
I am going to disqualify myself because I was obviously that I have a list of the questions in front of me.
You can't disqualify yourself, although you deserve it, because that.
I wondered how he knew that question. Yeah. You didn't ask. Yeah,
he's mean, isn't he? Everybody. Okay, he's disqualified. Right, first time anybody's ever been disqualified from the whole quiz, everybody. I haven't really got a thing for that.
Why did you do that, Kirby?
Because he's naughty, Mary. Very naughty.
Oh, any of us could have pulled up the previous, but we didn't.
Likes to be a naughty.
If anybody wants a brilliant Channel 4 program called Coach Trip, there's a chap called Brendan on there who regularly disqualifies... members of the people on the coach, and he uses the word "you're disqualified." That's exactly what's happened to Kirby. Yes.
I don't normally do that, but I happened to listen to it this morning and thought I'd write them down.
What do we think of that, everybody? Boo!
Kirby, you're gonna kick me off.
Yeah, you're disqualified. Right then, Mary.
No, you're gonna kick me off of the podcast.
No.
No.
Just don't do it again.
Unless, of course, you want to be kicked off the podcast.
You yes.
No.
Oh, well, shut up then. Right then, Mary. Where did I get? I can't remember where I was with these questions now, thanks to a certain person.
What is the question?
I don't know where I was. I think, did we get past the who is the Doctor's second best friend question?
No, we didn't get the answer.
That's my question.
Okay, shut up, Kirby. Whose question was
it? I know.
Shut up.
Well, I do know this one.
Go on then, Mary.
It's K9.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
When it looked like the ship was turning into a planet, what did the Doctor suggest might be a way out of the situation? Barney, pardon me, Marnie,
I don't know.
And Mary, do you know? Barney Padme Hum. Barney Padme Hum. Sorry, that was for Debbie.
With a laser or something?
She's right.
Or a blaster?
But if you knew she was right, Debbie, you should have perhaps tried...
I said, I don't know, and then she said laser, and I thought laser cannon.
I'll give it. It's Lainey Cannon is the correct answer. All right, then. So, there's 2 points in the bonus pot. I've lost where I was. Yeah. Right. How many metres had the hull increased to before they finally broke through the rock?
I know.
Shut up, Kirby.
I think I know.
Yeah, go on, then.
Is it 95?
Nope.
Ooh. Oh, I was going to agree with her because that's the last thing I remember Canine saying.
No, you're both wrong. No,
can I answer?
Oh, go on then.
100 meters.
Yes, it is. But shut up.
Hey, Master.
Yes.
I couldn't get that one from the last quiz because people talked over the answer.
Oh,
what a shame.
So I had to watch for it.
Mm. Right then, Mary.
Yes.
What apparently makes trogs work harder?
Is it the is it the rocks they eat?
No. Funny enough.
I know.
No, go on then, Debbie. Oh, hang on, iTunes has just opened. Shut up.
Well, good afternoon.
Oh, now I'm getting Andy and Annie coming over.
Andy and Annie here. It's 1:38 in the afternoon.
Be quiet. Thank you. Right. Right. So what was?
It was a good sacrifice, Adam.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yes, thank you for Debbie. Was that a 2 point? I gave you 2 points on that one.
That was 1 point.
It was 1 point, was it? I got really lost the plot there. Okay, 2 points in the bonus pot. Still. Actually, no, it's 3 points, isn't it? Sorry. 3 points in the bonus pot. Good sacrifice. Wait a minute. Oh, here we are. What was the James Bond reference to this story?
I think I know.
Yeah.
Skyfall?
Ooh. Is the correct answer.
For an episode I didn't like, I sure...
Yeah. Right, it's Mary, your question.
Oh, okay.
What is the spaceship crew's motto?
What?
Let me think here. Is it the quest is the quest?
There must be something really wrong with me when I compile these questions. Debbie?
Yes?
What are the sacrifices made to?
I know.
I thought you might, as you've got the answers in front of you.
Is it to the Oracle? Yes!
Oh, very played good.
Joker on that one, but never mind. Mary.
Yes.
Who made EDAS and the Doctor a map of the tunnel?
I was just talking about that earlier. K-9.
Debbie.
Printed out, didn't he? Very clever.
Debbie.
Yeah. He does everything.
What did the slaves eat?
Oh, my God.
I know that one.
Some kind of... Was it a pill? No, I don't know.
Mario's.
I know. I think I know.
Go on, then.
That's what I thought was the answer to the last one. processed rock.
Nice.
It's a great way of keeping Kirby quiet for a bit, you know. Right, 1 point in the
working.
1 point in the bonus pot. For this question, what ship were all the slaves the descendants of?
I know.
The Persephone.
No, P7E, but I'll give you that one. Should have played Joker again, but never mind.
But that's the descendants then, you know.
Yeah, it's all like... right, but you should have still played Joker.
Yes, right. I know, sorry.
Mary.
Yes.
Who did the Doctor credit his plan to?
Oh, I don't know.
I hit that button very quick, very hard. Anybody?
I know.
I thought you might, Kirby.
No idea.
Go on then, Kirby. Hang on, let's do this for Debbie. Kirby?
Odysseus, Ulysses.
Correct. Surprise, surprise.
Okay.
2 points. In the bonus pot for this question. When Herrick is being tortured and is asked what he is seeking, what was his response?
I know.
Go on,
I'm
then.
Sorry.
Yes.
Was that Mary's question?
No, it's a bonus pot question.
No, it's a bonus.
All right, I will play my Joker of the future.
Good. Yes, indeed.
Good.
I thought that was really nice. Yeah.
What's the likelihood that anyone else has written down the questions and answers before me?
Shut up, Kirby. Right then, Mary.
Yes.
What are the Doctor's last words to the Oracle?
I just found it. No hard feelings.
Debbie.
Yes.
What tunnel are the Doctor and Leela and Edas thought to be hiding in?
No idea.
I know.
Yeah, yes, I just pressed the ding button. That was your fault. All right. Anybody apart from Kirby know the answer?
No.
Okay. Go on then, Kirby, for nothing.
7.
Here's the correct answer. You don't get a ding for that. Yeah. All right then. Hang on, which question was that? 4 originally. I've lost where it was. Well,
I don't know.
That was mine, wasn't it?
Was it yours? Okay, that means there's 2 points in the bonus pot then for this question. What tunnel? I've done that one. No, oh, did I? 7. Yeah, I must have done that question twice.
What kept you canine?
Oh, did I give the answer to the... Oh, did you say no hard feelings? Was that the answer to the last question? I've lost the plot.
No, the last question was the tunnel. Tunnel 7.
Oh, that was tunnel 7. Right, there you go. Okay, so next question.
Shut
up. When the Doctor said... Who's this for?
Whose question is this?
The bonus pot.
This is the bonus pot.
Bonus pot.
Okay.
When the Doctor said... What kept you canine when he blasts them out of the tunnel? What is his response? That's canine's response, by the way. It's gone very quiet.
I don't know.
Something about thanks. I'm not sure. Sorry.
No. Kirby is now going to provide us with the answer.
Gratitude is unnecessary. Speed is vital.
There you go. Something about
thanks. Yeah, so still 2 points in the bonus spot. Mary.
Yes.
Who tried to kick all the people off the spaceship before takeoff?
The captain. Was the name Jackson?
Kidding. Debbie.
Yes.
What did the Doctor call Jackson at the end of the story? It's a difficult one, isn't it?
Oh, I know.
I don't remember.
What? That's appalling.
Yeah.
Go on in, Mary.
Seen about that. He called him Jason.
Jason, yeah.
The whole point of the whole story, you silly woman. Honestly. Where do I get these women co-presenters from? I really don't know. Right then, so bonus spot. 3 points in the bonus spot.
I'm tired, I'm sorry.
Oh, Debbie. what character... did Christine Pollan play?
Did she play?
Oh, hang on. Oh. Debbie knows.
Oracle.
Oh.
Well done. Good old Wikipedia, eh? Well then.
I wish there's a bloody signal in here again.
Mary.
On the Skype.
Last two questions. Mary, who composed the incidental music?
Who always does? Dudley Simpson.
And last question. Who was the script editor then, Debbie?
Anthony Reed.
As if it might be him.
He's quite often the script editor.
Right then. So, here we go. Oh, hang on. I've got Kirby's just posted something. I'll have to have a look at that in a minute. Right then. So then, sorry, his cheating has just made me laugh quite a lot, actually. I should really give him bonus points for that, because that's exactly what I would have done. Right then, since...
What?
No, I'm not going to give you them. I should give you them, because it's exactly what I would have done. Shut up, cheating. They just brought out a new edition of Monopoly, where the idea of the game is to cheat. So that's right up my street, that is. In fact, mind you, Isabella's quite good at cheating, too, so I might have met my match there anyway, because Isabella's exceptionally good at Monopoly.
I suspected... that other people may have done similar things.
No, that's your excuse, is it? That doesn't wash with me, I'm afraid. Right then. So, Mary predicted Kirby to be the winner.
Yeah, dear. I thought Kirby was going to win, too.
And, under certain circumstances, if he'd kept his gob job and not been so honest, although the honesty, unfortunately, I couldn't possibly. He would have got every question right.
I knew you had not asked the question yet, I realized, the jig is up.
Yes. Okay. Debbie predicted Kirby to win, and Debbie to be on the bottom. Although I haven't actually given out the scores so far, which is a bit of a shame, isn't it? And Kirby got disqualified. So, the final scores of this week's. You won't get this one. In last place with 26 points, it's Debbie. And the winner this week for the second week running. That's never happened before. With 27 points.
Yay!
It's Mary.
26 and 27. That's brilliant.
I don't know why I bother.
It's so close.
So back to the thread.
It couldn't have gone any better that the point spread was so narrow.
Yeah, it seems to be working in your favour actually at the moment, doesn't it, Mary? I don't know what's going on. Okay. Yes, Kirby.
I just updated the spreadsheet for the episode listing with the quiz winner, and I also indicated that I was disqualified for cheating.
No. He's posted, seriously, I'm so embarrassed. Well, you should be.
You naughty boy.
When are you going to kick me off?
Only when you want to be kicked off, Kirby. So that's entirely up to you. Well, shut up then. Right then. So on the thread, after Lillian's I like underwear comment, which was one of the most obvious statements I've ever seen posted on a social media website, Lauren Nick says, my money's on Kirby today. He's invested a lot in this episode. That's quite funny. And then she said, wow, a first. Congrats to Kirby. What, cheating? Lillian says, cheater. Laurie Nick said, I want to know whose bathtubs full of oatmeal that they used when the ship entered and edited the forming planet. Yes, very good one, Laurie. And then she says, exited. I thought she said excited for a minute. She says exited. Then Matthew Kressel joined the proceedings. And then everybody left. There's nobody watching now. I don't know what's going on. So about time we moved on to Doctor Who news. I put in just news. That'll give me all sorts of boring stuff, won't it? Good Lord. How do you spell Doctor?
One thing you can be sure of, for the next several weeks, I won't be able to cheat.
True. All right, then. First bit of news. Do you remember that thing that was leaked a while back that everybody got in the flap about? That is actually the trailer for episode one. So they've actually posted the proper trailer, which is exactly the same as what got leaked. So it wasn't an awful surprise.
Yeah, I never saw the one.
It's still very nice to see these scenes in their full glory. And I do rather like what I see so far, even in these small little snippets of Jodie as the Doctor.
It's going to be great. I'm so excited.
I suppose this is a Doctor Who podcast and I am duty bound to play the trailer.
Hold on there, please, madam. I need you to do as I say. This could be a potential crime scene.
Why are you calling me madam?
Because you're a woman.
Am I?
Does it suit me?
What?
Oh, yeah. I remember. Sorry. Half an hour ago, I was a white-haired Scotsman. When's the next train due?
This is the last one back.
But the doors are locked. How did you both get in?
Driver's window was smashed in.
What's your name?
PC Khan, Hallamshire Police.
Name, not title.
Yasmin Khan. Yas, to my friends. Can I have your name, please?
When I can remember it.
You don't know your own name?
Of course I know it. Just can't remember it. It's right there, on the tip of my...
What's that?
Tongue.
Smart boy. Biology. What did she call you? Ryan?
Yeah, Ryan Sinclair.
Good name. Are you a doctor, Ryan?
No.
Shame. I'm looking for a doctor.
Don't forget there we
to
go.
Follow and subscribe Yay! To the official Doctor Who YouTube channel.
Adam, what accent would you say she is?
Northern.
Northern. Generic, so we have another doctor from the north. Huh?
Generic northern. She's more, yeah, sort of northern. Also sort of Yes, well, yeah, because obviously Eccleston was quite hard and water, wasn't he? Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, we can't complain because Eccleston was extremely blatantly, obviously northern, because every planet has a north, as was Capaldi, blatantly Scottish, and McCoy slightly Scottish. You know, so it's just part of Doctor Who now, isn't it? And it doesn't bother me. There's been so many dramas.
Yeah, she's from West Yorkshire, Skelmanthorpe.
Yes, but there's been so many drama. She could have done any accent. She can do Wiltshire. We found that in Broadstairs.
She could, you know.
Broadstairs.
Use your own accent in something, surely.
Yeah, why not? Although Tennant didn't go the full unpronounceable
Scottish. I don't think people were quite ready for that then.
I think that in some ways, although when Tennant speaks in his normal accent, it's quite audible, but I think American listeners might have found it in a dramatic environment more difficult to understand what he was saying.
When Capaldi spoke and when he got excited.
Yeah, to a certain degree, yeah. But Capaldi, he dampened it down quite a lot, his Scottish accent.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we were supposed to be doing news, but that was all quite... So very exciting. As of 2 weeks' time, well, it's next week, actually, but to watch it, 2 weeks' time for us to actually review it, we'll be on a new Who. Still not sure. Is it 10 episodes we've got for Doctor Who this year? I can't remember now. Was it 10 plus,
10
plus the Christmas special, perhaps? Because obviously the Christmas special is going to be tagged on to the end of the series, I would imagine, as it's getting that late in the year. Nobody's answering me. I'll carry on.
I think that there's a couple of weeks from where it would be the end until Christmas, so.
So there you go. That's the Doctor Who series.
But no one should listen to me. I'm a cheater.
He's going to be all sulky now. You are fine.
But the time it took to copy all those questions down. That was very deliberate.
Obsessive, some would say. Cold Vengeance on vinyl.
Hey, I've obsessively gone through all of the podcast listings and created a spreadsheet.
But aren't they good, though, Kirby?
What?
Aren't they good?
Podcast episodes. Just say yes.
Yes.
Oh, damn, I missed the bell. Oh, got it then. Right then.
Well, I've not gone back to figure out who won all the quizzes. That would take time.
That'd be cool. I'd like to know that. Cold Vengeance on vinyl, following the sellout success of Big Finish Productions' limited edition Doctor Who stories on vinyl earlier this year, the audio company has announced another exclusive release. HMV will release Doctor Who Cold Vengeance, starring David Tennant and Billy Piper, on the 5th of October, which is only a few days' time. Cool,
I don't have any way of playing vinyl.
Nor do I. But I'm sure they'll release it in some other format. Space, Doctor Who Transmission Time. Space Canada have confirmed that they will join BBC America by broadcasting the new series of Doctor Who at the same time as it's seen in the UK. The first episode will transmit at 1:45 Eastern Time, with a repeat at prime time 8 p.m. ET. Following the premiere, all new episodes of Doctor Who will debut in their regular Sundays at 8 p.m. ET time slot, beginning on October the 14th.
Master.
Before you butt in, which is unusual for you, Kirby, if there's anybody in Kirby's vicinity who has got cable so he can go and watch Doctor Who when it goes out, please let him know. You can
That's
do that
what
via.
I was going to say.
You can do it via the. Shut up! I'm trying to put out a plea for you here, Kirby. Just shut your gob. So you can do that via our email address, which is 20mb.feedback@gmail.com, where you can also send feedback, which we didn't get much of this week. Yes.
Yeah, that's the thing, is everybody, all of you guys, most of our listenership is going to have seen it before I get a chance to see it.
Yes.
And the thing is, though, that I'm not even going to be home at that time, because I'm taking Fred to the Atlanta Comic Convention.
Okay, well, don't worry about it, everybody. Forget what I just said. Maybe for future episodes. So the press launch in Sheffield welcomes the 13th Doctor, so they did a big launch of Doctor Who there. Must be a big fat thrill for the six or so fans that were behind Bradley Walsh and his sidekicks, not including Jodie herself. Not a lot of people there, so obviously not a lot of people knew about it, but I would have liked to have been there. The time slot for Doctor Who has been confirmed in the United Kingdom at 6:45 p.m., which means we can't, of course, record until about 8 p.m. Sorry, everybody, we can't record during the show because I'll be watching it. So Debbie's now sulking. Well, it's only for a few weeks, Debbie, because I prefer recording at 7. I don't sulk.
Yes, didn't we used to record at 8 o'clock anyway?
Yes, we did, yes.
Yes.
Mm. So that's what we'll have to do, I'm afraid, for the duration of the series. There's also some books coming out, 13th Doctor Volume 0. Titan Comics have released a load of stuff on the 13th Doctor without even knowing what the character's like, which is interesting in itself. The unofficial Doctor Who Annual 1972 fan project, the unofficial Doctor Who Annual 1972, is to be published in February 2019, several years late. Katie Manning, John Levine, Mike Tucker and our old friend Alistair Pearson have all contributed to the publication, joining a large number of Doctor Who fan writers and artists. Now, since Sophie Aldred and Paul McGann have been announced as guests at IslandCon, I'm delighted to announce that Alistair Pearson is now actually attending after all. So thrilled that we'll be seeing Alistair there after all, and he's got some charity stuff going on at his table. So come along to IslandCon and meet Paul. Yes, that's you, Mary. Meet Paul McGann and Sophie Aldred. Because obviously we can have your picture taken with...
How many, Master? How many Doctor Who annuals have you got?
None. I used to have that valuable one, the first one. William Hartnell on the cover. My nan threw it. But I did have that one.
I have one.
Okay, so not something that really interests me, having Doctor Who.
And I won it. It's 1982.
Yeah, like I say, it's not something that particularly interests me, annuals. It did when I was a kid.
It's not all that great.
Sure they are, but not something I'll be looking out for. Yeah, so he's going to be in this unofficial Doctor Who annual. Cool for him, I say. And there's some press launch images that were... talking about these various publicity things that Doctor Who's doing. I didn't actually get to see I think she was on the Graham Norton show, or maybe it hasn't been on yet. I didn't get to see that because I forgot. There's a lovely picture actually of the 13th Doctor arrives in Sheffield and all the cosplayers all lined up together, which I thought was quite nice.
All the cosplayers of the 13th Doctor?
Yeah. Really, really good. With, I don't know if that's a superimposed picture of Jodie at the front, or whether she's actually wearing a costume. It's an absolutely fantastic photograph.
She looks superimposed.
Yeah, okay. Well, I didn't know. But anyway, so fantastic stuff going on. Doctor Who's about to arrive back on our TV screens, and I can hardly wait. Right, so that's the end of the news feature, unless Kirby's got anything else I've missed or forgotten.
No, I'm just... sitting here turning
sulking,
red.
Yes. Gertie's going to be taking the mickey out of him for several weeks about this.
Does this mean that next Sunday we will not be recording?
Shut up, Kirby. This is how did you guess that was going to happen, Mary? Man, fantastic. Going to get a point for that. Brilliant. Yes, no, we're not going to be recording next Sunday simply because we're going to watch episode one, digest it a little bit, and also there's other reasons as well. I'll be at a wedding bridal show thingamajig for the afternoon. I've got a meeting.
I may not be here either.
There you go. I've got a meeting with a future customer later that evening. Then we've got to have dinner. And then we've got to watch Doctor Who. So by the time Doctor Who's done, I don't want to come on the show with indigestion. I'll be too stressed out. We're going to stop it here. Have a week off. That week off, we're going to be watching Doctor Who. And then we'll come back a week after that. Me and Isabella might do a couple of... might do a secret episode if I can get Isabella in front of the microphone just to do a quick... sort of mini.
Come on as well if you need me.
A mini sort of look at the new episode before we do the you know. I'm not saying that's going to happen because Isabella is sometimes quite difficult to nail down, shall we say.
I saw her yesterday in town. It was great. Well,
I've seen her today. I had dinner with her, but podcasting capacity.
I haven't seen her for ages, so it was nice to catch up.
In a podcasting capacity, it's quite difficult to get her sat down in front of a microphone.
She's cosplaying for...
Now, if this was the 20 megabyte badminton pad podcast, you might actually get her sit down in front of the... microphone, or a 20 megabyte Stranger Things podcast, or anything like that, you'd get her in front of a microphone.
She's too young for Stranger Things.
Not according to her, she isn't. She absolutely loves Stranger Things with a passion. It's her favourite show, and she's absolutely gutted that Sean Astin isn't going to Island Con because she'd bought special things to get in to sign.
Isla was going to dress up as Sam Gamgee for the picture.
Don't know who that is, but never mind.
What?
Oh, shut up doing that stupid sharp intake of breath nonsense.
I said what?
I don't know who she's on about. Right then, let's go and have a...
What?
Unless you're talking about a character from Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
Oh, no, I'll
best
figure...
book ever.
Oh, no, I know who Sam was. I didn't know him by his surname as well. Not that sort of close to him. Right then, who won? Who won? .co.uk. Let's see. Ooh, is new stuff coming out? Coming soon. Still the Sonic Screwdriver looks a bit rude. Along with Dalek Occupation of Winter, big Finnish story. Eighth Doctor Ravenous 2. We're going to meet the Eighth Doctor. Maybe some people are going to Island Con might want to buy some Eighth Doctor Big Finish products from Who Won and get them signed by...
is that whowon.co.uk?
By, what's his name? what's his name, Mary? Can't remember it. Pretty sure one of your boyfriend.
Paul.
Oh, that's it. Yes.
Paul.
Yeah. Now I've actually bought a photo op with Paul and Sylvester, which I'm quite pleased about. So because I was thinking, should I get one with just Paul? Because I've already had a picture taken with Sylvester.
I'm going to have one with just Paul because I've got one with just Sylvester.
But I got up on the wall. I've got pictures somewhere in my cupboard of me with Colin and me with Sylvester separately. But on my wall, I haven't got those pictures. I've just got the picture of me sat in between Colin and Sylvester. So I thought that would be quite good to have a picture of me sat in between Sylvester and Paul.
Even though I was at a convention where Paul was there, I never actually got to meet him because
Matthew messed it up for you.
Matthew managed not to find him for us.
Yeah, I know he did. So
I didn't get an official picture either, and I've only got an unofficial picture of our recording with Sylvester.
Well, you'll have to come over, won't you?
Sitting next to them.
You've got a few weeks to get a ticket. Eighth Doctor, this is stuff that's available to buy now. Eighth Doctor, Time War 2, Doctor Who Magazine 530, Fortunes of War, and Treasury, which is Bernice Summerfield. So that's a nice picture on the front of that. Let's have a look at that one.
Adam, I just have a quick question, re-Island Con.
Oh, I've got a question for you.
Do I need to buy jelly babies in bulk?
I'm buying the jelly babies. It's my podcast. No, we were buying jelly babies in bulk, yes. You don't have to buy them. I will be going to Booker's to purchase. Deb's already earmarked a load of jelly babies for the purpose of giving out to anybody that we feel that deserves them. But there will be a cosplay. I've already mentioned this, a cosplay competition on the Sunday because I can't do it on the Saturday because I'm not there. There will be a quiz run by yourself on the Saturday.
My God.
my tent will be going up.
Do you want me to help you with a quiz?
No.
Yes, please.
There'll be a quiz going up. A quiz? Shut up. There'll be a tent going up on the sun for the whole weekend where there will be a TV screen and there will be screenings of Doctor Who stories over the weekend, which are you and She Who Must Be Obeyed will have to, because Deb's going to be there to be my presence at the... at the convention, but yeah, she'll be helping out in the regards
after
to
after all the time she's threatened to shut down the podcast. She's going to be right there.
Well, she's a good perfect place to shut it down, isn't she? She could she could let out my air inlets for the tent and just let the tent deflate, but never mind. So that's one plan, and like I say, there'll be a cosplay competition on the Sunday, which I intend to put a little certificate together for, but Jelly babies are there for our fans and Doctor Who fans and stuff like that. So I don't know how many I'm going to get, but we can't be too frivolous with the dispatch of these jelly babies, just like to point out.
I won't be. No, I'll be quite stingy.
Not that stingy. there's plenty going on. We've got a full-size TARDIS. We've got two Daleks, apparently, and a little girl who's very good at cosplaying. So come to the Doctor Who Zone at Island Con and get into the spirit of Doctor Who. We'll just sit down and watch an episode.
I'm so looking past her. Yes? Deploying my cosplay on that Sunday. That's going to be amazing.
Yes. Yes, Kirby.
This brings up a question. First of all, are we going to have a podcast recording Sunday evening, the 21st?
Well, we'll be at the party, won't we?
No, because Doctor Who's on for a start. I don't know yet. Might be able to do it. Basically, we've got to try and get everything out of the con, including deflating my tent, which is a job in itself. Get home, have dinner somehow, watch Doctor Who, and then record for the podcast. So, not definitely not, but a bit nearer the time would be easier to sort of, you know, answer that question. It would probably be easier to do a show, but we might have to do that on a Monday morning thing, just to annoy Mary.
Yeah, I can still do that. It's been a long time.
Yeah, but it might just have to happen.
That's in only, what, 3 weeks? IslandCon?
Yeah.
Yep, not far off.
Wow.
Yeah, but... yeah, so be good. I might even get another photo op because I can get the photo ops without Deb noticing because the account I pay, you know, she doesn't actually see what goes in and out of that one.
Cheater!
Oh my God, she's watching upstairs. Right. Maybe I said that too loud. She could be listening upstairs. No, but I'm quite happy with my photo ops. I might get another one with just me and Paul, perhaps. I don't know. What I might actually put to Ben, the big boss bloke, is if we could have an unofficial group photo of all the Doctor Who celebrities and us.
Oh, that would be nice.
That would be awesome.
Not us, I mean me and... didn't say you, Debbie, just us.
Oh, never mind.
I'm only joking!
I'll take the picture, I'll just be happy.
I want to try and get a picture with a friend of the show, John Davey. I might get a picture. What's that noise?
What?
It's a cat.
A cat.
Oh, my goodness.
At least the cat's making more sense than Kirby does.
Well, I thought since in our last recording of Underworld, we had the same cat on it, so I thought I'd just repeat.
Wonderful. Right, so like I say, no show next week. Not an official one, at least. And the journey will therefore commence or recommence probably around about episode 390 something or other, which means we're closer to 400, which gives me more gravitas to try and get Louise on the show around that time. Bearing in mind it's her last episode. Oh, for goodness sake. Yes, what?
Okay, I'm looking at the listing of episodes, and we have an awful lot of them that we've never done. Coming up, which is good.
Yeah.
Also, when we do Invasion of Time, that was so early, I'm sure there was no quiz.
Oh.
2011? Of course not. So why don't I offer to not participate in quizzes where we've done them before?
Are you trying to tell us that you can't not cheat? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes, as way of penance.
No, just don't cheat. Simple as that.
So you'll still allow me to be on as long as I don't cheat.
Correct. That's the crux of it, isn't that right, everybody?
Yes.
I'm just checking he's right.
Actually, there's a lot of them coming up that we've never done quizzes on.
Thanks for that. Sequences. Although at least it's now the winter, I haven't got so many weddings. Actually, might have time to actually do the quiz, so that's quite good. And otherwise, I'll just get Deb to do it.
Like I said last week, the key to time. We've only done two of those ever.
Good. Anyway, so don't forget that Debbie Island Con quiz. Or do you want my book? Do you want my book, the Ultimate Doctor Who Quiz Book, to refer to?
Well, I need to buy it, actually. I haven't bought it
yet. Yes, it's available on Amazon. So if you want to buy my book on Amazon, the Ultimate Doctor Who Quiz Book, or indeed the 101 Facts About Doctor Who book. I think that's one of mine on there. So.
I bought that one, too.
All available on Amazon, all around the world. And it would help if I actually looked at the right... I'm just checking if there's any particular link I can... Amazon. Will you stop getting that cat purring next to the blooming microphone? here we are. Ultimate.
There you go, Mary. I've just
Doctor
paid for with your boyfriend.
Who?
I will keep my hands to myself.
Quiz.
Did you see the picture I posted?
I have. I've just seen it.
Mary, don't trust her. She won't keep her hands to herself.
what?
Yeet!
Kyla.
There's loads of Ultimate Doctor Who quiz books. You want the one by me, everybody? It's got a picture of Matt Smith on the cover.
I'm just going to put Adam Pearson in and go from there.
it's got 100% customer reviews, which is very nice. And it's only £3.99 on Kindle. You can also get it on iTunes or Apple Books, what they call it these days. And then all the listeners who are going to go to the convention will have the book and cheat. Kirby's been too much of an influence on our listeners.
Oh dear.
So there you go. Just click on
mine. Debbie.
Mm-hmm?
I could give you some of my spreadsheets full of quiz questions that I've used at other conventions. Mm.
That would be brilliant.
Or you could just buy my other book, a Doctor Who related book, that is, and I'm not mentioning all the umpteen other books I've written. 101 Interesting Facts on Doctor Who, which you could create questions from. That's available on Kindle for £2.90. Bargain, eh?
Bargain.
Yeah, don't be so unenthusiastic. Can't find what?
Your book.
What's quite funny about the reviews for the 101 Interesting Facts on Doctor Who book, that the first review is from a chap called Chris Cowlin, who says, entertaining, a good book which will entertain all Doctor Who fans. I certainly learned a thing or two. Chris Cowlin is my publisher. So he would write that, wouldn't he?
A very loyal publisher, I must say that.
I suppose so. He doesn't give me any royalties. He keeps sending me royalty statements that amount to nothing, because it never quite hits the target, so I actually get paid anything. But there you go. Yes, so there's a few. Oh, there's another one here. It says, From Troy to Man. It's a novel that's the follow-up to a book called Diary of an Unwilling Virgin. Oh, they're by me as well. There you go. Bet you haven't bought those ones, have you, Deb?
I had to move the cat. That's why she made that noise.
It's got nothing to do with me plugging my books, by the way.
He's great.
Right, so The Diary of an Unwilling Virgin, which is actually available on eBay in paper book format rather than this rather strange digital format that everybody seems to be buying books in these days. And its sequel is called From Troy to Man. So it's, if you get the two books on your Kindle or whatever, you get an extremely long novel. It's not working, this book plugging thing, you know. There's loads of Doctor Who, football quiz books and stuff like that. In fact, I'll let you know that the official Southampton quiz book is the biggest selling Southampton quiz book of all time. Probably because it's the only Southampton quiz book that's been released, but there you go. So there you go. Search me on. Did you say you searched me on Amazon? You saw nothing, Debbie?
I found you now.
Good. I should be findable. All you've got to do is put 101 Interesting Facts on Doctor Who and my name, you'll find it straight away. So there you go.
All you have to do is search cheater for me.
Oh, stop beating yourself.
So The Diary of an Unwilling Virgin and From Troy to Man are two novels written by myself which are worth reading, aren't they, everybody?
Yeah. Yes.
Debbie has not read it, nor has Mary, but Kirby has.
I haven't either.
No, I haven't read it. Sorry.
All points deducted for next time.
I have a question, Master.
Hang on. Yes.
What will my points be negative wise because of what just happened?
Don't know. I'm sulking because none of you have read my novels.
No one's read mine.
Don't care. Well, what's your novel then, Debbie?
Okay, I will buy it and let you know.
Eh? Well, thank you. Yes. What's your novel then, Debbie?
No, I haven't had it. I've had it bounce back from publishers so many times that it's just never going to turn up.
How can I read it if it's been bounced back from publishers?
Because someone wanted me to change it.
Send it to Chris Cowley. Send it to Chris
Cowley. Then I said I don't like the changes.
Debbie, forget them publishers. Send it to Chris Cowley and he'll release it as an ebook.
Okay.
Yes?
Can I have the link?
Well, if you remind me, yes, of course you can.
Because I'm fed up of it. They wanted me to change it too much.
Send it. You've written it. You might as well send it to a publisher and get it out on ebook.
Exactly.
Okay? Exactly, yes. They won't charge very much. No, I'm just kidding. If it's going out on ebook, there's no overhead, so you won't have to pay anything, you know. For my first few books, I had to pay, especially Unwilling Virgin, I had to pay a load of money to get it published. It's called self-publishing, but they do it for you. But all the other books, they asked me to write, including From Troy to Man. But I didn't get much money. Initially, I got a load of cash, but it's gradually fizzled out over the year. And it's not the, it wasn't Cash what it was all about, you know, it's about getting it published. Yes.
I think I'm going to need to get a mask of Mary's face for when I have my photo.
The mask of Mandragora. Anyway, so that's it then. 2 weeks' time, back for Nude Who, and thank you for listening to the show. Goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Bye.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.